Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Well, at long last, it's summer in Maine, and you know what that means. Lots of folks will be coming to visit, to see what there is to see, and to hear what there is to hear. So we thought it might be good to dust off an episode from the archives now and then, and for those of us who are here all the time, to give it another listen, and for those who are just coming into the area, to offer a chance to hear an old chestnut for the first time. Whichever group you fall into, we hope you'll enjoy this edition from the Electronic Cottage Archives. Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Over the years here at the Electronic Cottage, we've discussed all manner of digital tools that folks use every day, from cell phones to computers of various sorts, to GPS units to experimental mind-reading headbands. But one of the most ubiquitous pieces of technology has gotten short shrift in the past, so let's remedy that today. We refer, of course, to digital cameras. These days, just about everyone has a digital camera. Some of them are cameras found in smartphones, which are becoming increasingly sophisticated and powerful. Some are pocket-sized point-and-shoot cameras that weigh a few ounces and can slip into a pocket or a purse so that it's ready whenever a good shot comes up. And some are higher-end digital single-lens reflex cameras with changeable lenses and zillions of shooting options. In fact, digital cameras have so many features that many of those features are buried in menus, and users often don't even know that they're there. So today, let's take a quick look at some of the things that digital cameras can do that were either difficult or impossible to do using their venerable analog forebearers. And once we do that, we'll take a look at something in the lab today that may make all of today's cameras largely obsolete tomorrow. First, let's deal with what we have in hand. Digital cameras, of course, use no film to capture images. Instead, they use an electronic chip which processes the light that comes through the camera's lens into digital information, our old friends bits, that are stored in a file, usually on a memory card of some sort. That file can then be interpreted by another processor to form an image which can be displayed on a television or a computer screen or understood by software that allows us to edit or manipulate the image. All that's pretty clear and basic. And, like cameras that used film, the amount of light that hits the electronic sensor in the digital camera will determine much about the image that's recorded. The amount of light that enters the camera, on any kind of camera, is a function of how open the lens is and how long it stays open. How open the lens is referred to as aperture and is expressed in f-stops, usually represented by numbers from about 1.4 to 32, and sometimes even higher. The smaller the number, the larger the lens opening. Counterintuitive, but there it is. How long the lens is open is referred to as shutter speed and is expressed in fractions of a second. So a shutter speed of 1 over 30 means that the lens is open for a 30th of a second. A shutter speed of 1 over 2,000 means that it's open for 2,000ths of a second, which is good, for example, for capturing fast movement in sports or other action activities. Figuring out which combination of f-stop and shutter speed is best in any situation can be confusing for those who aren't well-versed in such matters, so most digital cameras offer an auto setting, so that the user can leave it to the camera to figure out the best combination based on the amount of light available at the time that the picture's taken. This works fine for most people most of the time. But the camera has no way of knowing, for example, that in a particular case you might want to capture the exact moment when, oh, for example, a tennis ball is hit without a lot of blur, which is a function of shutter speed. Or that you might want all of the flowers in a field to be in sharp focus, which is a function of the f-stop setting. In those cases, most digital cameras allow you to tell the camera to keep the f-stop opening you specify constant, and then calculate the best shutter speed to go with it, or vice versa. This is generally called, in the case of aperture, aperture priority, or in the case of shutter speed, shutter speed priority on most cameras. You may have to hunt a bit in the menus to find these settings on your particular camera, but they're probably there. Though many people get a little weak in the knees at the suggestion, it's a great idea to read the manual that came with your camera to find out where these additional functions are located in your menu system. If you'd like to see what difference different settings for aperture or shutter speed can make in a picture, there's a wonderful website that allows you to make changes in these settings and then simulates the changes that you would see in a photo if you use those settings. It's at http://camerasim.com, camerasim.com/camera-simulator.html. It's great fun, and it's very informative. In the old days, if we were shooting color film, we'd have to know what type of light we'd be shooting in. Indoor, outdoor, fluorescent, and so forth. Because all light has what's called a color temperature. And color temperatures are different for different types of light, which in turn affects the color of the image you capture. If you've ever taken a photo of someone blowing out birthday candles inside while using outdoor film without a flash, you've seen how everything looks sort of orange in the picture, including everyone's faces. That's a color temperature mismatch, an indoor scene shot with film made for outdoor light. Digital cameras have no film, so they compensate for color temperature variations inside the camera by deciding what is white in a particular scene and then adjusting all of the other colors in reference to white. Most cameras allow you to do this manually. It's called white balance, and it's in the menu somewhere. But most people don't bother. Instead, they choose a little icon which sets the color temperature inside the camera's software. That's why most digital cameras have little pictures of a sunny day, a cloudy day, nighttime candles, an indoor light bulb, and so forth. These are often referred to as scene settings on many cameras. On some cameras, these are set using a physical dial on the camera body. On others, it's the old menu mambo again. But since selecting the best scene setting can have a real impact on what your final photo looks like, it's worth spending a few minutes choosing the best one for the location that you're in. Now that we've said all this, it's probably time to mention that there's a new technology coming. And if startup company Lytro can deliver on its promises, coming pretty darn soon. It's called light field photography, and it will change the way we take pictures in a dramatic fashion. But since we're out of time today, discussion of that technology and what it could mean for digital photography for all of us who use cameras will have to wait for a future edition of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.